What'd you say, age? Not a sword. Not a sword. They use that to butter their toast. So, okay, we'll go ahead and pray. I'm ready, Jer. You done playing games? Okay, Joshua 4. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to honor your words, and I do pray that you'd help us as a people that are like-minded, that we would allow the liberties you've given us to continue to serve you until we hear the trumpet. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Joshua 4. They're crossing the Jordan River, and the Bible, again, is the standard. So we're going to see something set up here as a standard by the Bible, and we're going to see it in our culture and any culture. Verse 1, it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. So 12 men, command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet should stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them ever with you, and leave them in a lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. So as everybody got passed over, the priest was still standing in the water or in the river, in the dry part, because remember, it says, the Bible says the water was heaping up, heaping up, heaping up. And while the priest was holding the Ark of Covenant and they were standing now in dry ground, as everybody got over, Joshua was ordered by the Lord, tell 12 guys, go back in to where the water came through and gather a stone, biggin, probably get a biggin. So each of them go out and get one stone each, 12 stones, and then bring it back over, and then the priest could come on over, and then the water's going to go back. What was the purpose of the stones? Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark your God, of the Lord your God, into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. So it's got to be a big one. Can you imagine a guy taking a stone about three? It's got to be a big one. Okay, and then he said, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign. I'll come back to that idea, very significant, that word sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? What are the purpose of the stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial until the children of Israel forever. So why do we go to cemeteries and we see a grave stone? You go to a certain place's statues and you'll see a stone statue. Those stones are for a memorial. In Russia, where they have stone statues, those atheists were following the pattern of the Bible. You see? A Republican just introduced a bill, which is going to be funny to watch this one. A Republican out of Texas introduced, I don't know if it's a bill or a decree, that he said the Democrats need to change their name since they are interested in removing all the stones and the history of the Civil War and all that, because the Democrats were for the South, they were for slavery, they were for the Jim Crow laws, and they were the ones who established the KKK. So it's time for the Democrats to change their name. That's going to be an interesting one to come through. I don't think the media is going to say a thing about it. That's funny. That guy's got a sense of humor. Okay, but why is it we go to the graveyards? It's because the Bible right here set the standard. A person might say, well, obviously it's a no-brainer. Well, yeah, it is. The Bible set the standard. And so you engrave words on stones, then it endures the passing of time. And so this, it doesn't matter if people's background, an atheist who puts up a gravestone is following the Bible pattern. So this is where this was established. This is when it started. Okay, and it says in verse 8, and the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged and laid them down there. So they're going to put them in a certain location. Actually, they're going to put them in Gilgal, okay, in verse 20. And so those 12 stones there in Gilgal, then they probably put a plaque there. Okay, I did not witness this. Ron Wyatt testifies to this idea in that I've been down to the Red Sea crossing site on the Egyptian side. There is a concrete pillar there. No words can be seen on this pillar. But when Ron Wyatt snuck into Saudi Arabia's side, there was a pillar there also, and it had Hebrew words on there. It had Solomon written on there, Pharaoh written on there, a few other words. But evidently, Solomon had that stone pillar placed on the Saudi side, because that's Midian, that's where they went to the Mount Sinai, to commemorate the Red Sea crossing. Now, after Ron Wyatt pointed this out, got arrested in Saudi Arabia, the Saudis put a fence around Mount Sinai so nobody can go investigate. And then they took down that pillar and placed it, hid it in a museum somewhere. Not a museum, but they hid it somewhere in a warehouse. Now, on the Egyptian side, there's a pillar, but you can't see any writing. So that was to commemorate the great Red Sea crossing. The stones is to remember. And so if the schools do not teach true American history, we will forget our heritage. And so, people say the fathers were deists. I think only two were. And that's the only two most people can name, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson. They don't mention John Adams. They don't mention Samuel Adams. And I bet you he's upset that a beer is named after him. Okay, these were God-fearing, Christ-honoring men that prayed continually, especially when they were getting the founding documents. And again, David Barton will give a bunch of information on that. So, wonderful heritage. Verse 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, okay, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and there they are unto this day. Okay, whatever that day was at that time. Back, if you would, to the word sign in verse 6. Very important. I know this is not new information for many of you, but what is a sign? Okay. In Exodus chapter 4, when God told Moses, I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said, how am I going to convince these people? He said, well, what's in your hand? And he threw the rod down, became a snake. He said, pick it up. Okay, there's one. He said, stick your hand in your thing like Napoleon, pull it back out. Leprosy. Put it back in, pull it back out. Healed. There's two. Take that cup of water that you have there, pour it on the ground, turns into blood. There's three. He said, Moses, I've just given you three signs to convince the Jews that I've called you to be the leader of Israel. That's how Israel began. So that's how Israel, throughout its history, was convinced, or at least try to be convinced by the Lord, okay, for certain directions. So that started with Moses, then it was passed on to Joshua. He had the great miracles, so that was evidence to them that Joshua's our leader. Then you go through the judges, okay, then you'll go through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and through there, remember when Hezekiah got sick, what he asked for to verify? Sign. Remember what Gideon asked for. Gideon asked for two signs. Okay, and he was still doubting. So when we come into the New Testament, when the Lord shows up, what did he do? He showed those Jews signs time and time again. And then you get into the book of Acts, and the apostles had signs. The apostolic signs are given in Mark 16. And there is no church in the country, there's no Pentecostal that obeys all those signs. They all stop somewhere. Even the snake handlers down there, they stop. They don't heal every single time. That's one of the apostolic signs. There are no duds in healing with the apostles. And after the apostles are dead, all the signs go with them. The Sabbath is a sign. That's between God and Israel. Tongues are for a sign. That's a tough one for Pentecostals to overcome, especially a lady that speaks in tongues. That's a tough one for them to overcome. Okay, and that's a sign. Even though it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14, that's because 1 Corinthians is written around Acts 20, and we're not done with the book of Acts. And so he says, tongues shall cease. When did they cease? Acts 28, 28, 29. Okay, and the Lord's going to pick it back up in the tribulation. Why? Because God's got unfinished business with Israel. What do the Greeks seek after? Knowledge, wisdom. That's why if you go to Purdue or Indiana State, the fraternities and the sororities will use Greek letters. They obey the Bible. Exactly as the Bible. The Bible is the standard. And so that's when we learn to rightly divide things. Okay, so what are you and I supposed to do in our age? We live by faith, not by sight. What's really amazing is John the Baptist was a great prophet for Israel, and he did no miracle. He had no signs backing up what he did. That's really amazing. Okay, so in Joshua, we see the signs there in verse 6 of chapter 4. And you read throughout Jewish history, they'll have these signs, these wonders, and all that faded away with the apostles. And whoever claims to have these signs today are lying. We have an obligation. Somebody who says they're apostle and are not and found them liars. So they're just deceived on that matter. So Joshua 4, verse 11, it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over and the priest in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben, children of Gad, and of half the tribe of Manasseh. Okay, now remember, what was God's perfect will for all 12 tribes? All 12 go into the land of Canaan. That was his first plan A. But 2.5 tribes did not want to go over. And God is not a dictator. He allowed them to stay on the other side. I wonder if the ones that chose that, once they got into the land of Canaan, they're like, I wish I hadn't said that. Don't know. Have no idea. So that shows it wasn't an absolute theocracy. They did have choices. And God yielded to their choices. But when they chose a king, he said to Samuel, protest, protest. Tell them what's going to happen. And if they still go forward, it's on their head. And of course they did. So those two tribes, he said, okay, if you guys want to stay on that side, but at least you have to come over and fight the battles for the rest. And so that's what they did. Verse 13, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto the battle to the plains of Jericho. So, they're meeting their obligation, they made a deal with the Lord, they're fulfilling their part. And then verse 14, on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. Notice, Joshua hasn't changed. There's no change in Joshua. The Lord magnified him. What does that mean? It's like he put a spiritual magnifying glass between Joshua and the people. So when they saw Joshua, they thought, wow. Now he had not changed. But the Lord put that between them so that they would pay attention to him more. And the Lord does that. Okay, the Lord still does that. If there's some people the Lord wants you to influence, and he wants you to influence them so it gives your word some weight, he might put a spiritual magnifying glass between you and they. Okay, and you and I have not changed. But the Lord often, okay, if he calls somebody to preach, he will often prepare that person for the people, but those people for that individual. That's part of the plans of God. That's how he works. So that idea of magnifying, you know, I mentioned that this morning. If you take a magnifying, two magnifying glass, has anybody ever done that on your check where it says MP? If you got a, do you got a, have you done it, Debbie? Okay. If you got a, what a little telescope, not a telescope, what are they called? Microscope. Put that under there. You might see authorized signature, authorized signature, authorized signature, author. There's, that's for a reason. Okay, and so I've looked at that. Okay, for Joshua, okay, it says, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. So the Lord did that for him. Joshua's a great man. No, the Lord is a great God. Joshua's a man of great character. But the Lord is the one that magnified him. Verse 15, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they may come up out of Jordan. Okay, so now they come. They got the 12 rocks. Everybody's passed over. And then Joshua commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. I kind of wonder, maybe those priests at night, if they had a dream and they're standing out there, that water kind of gets them or something like that. Okay, but that's the plans. And of course, there's a miracle. That's a miracle of God. And that was used by the Lord to magnify Joshua so that the people would follow his leadership as he followed the leadership of God. Verse 19. And the people come up out of the Jordan on this 10th day of the first month. Okay, first month for us is January. First month for them is Abib, I think that's how they would say it. Okay, it's in the spring. Their year starts in the spring, ours starts in the winter. Theirs is a better program, but I'm not going to change anything on that. 10th day of the first month. Well, on the 14th day is a Passover. And encamped in Gilgal. Okay, so there's a location. It's like their headquarters is going to be in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. So that's where the memorial was put. And so they could commemorate the crossing of the Jordan River. And that was just as great as a miracle as the Red Sea crossing. I mean, where the waters kept heaping up and heaping up and heaping up and heaping up. And then the Lord said, let it go. So verse 21, he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? So this is how we need to pass down our history. We learn from history that men don't learn from history. And if we don't tell people about our history, or if history's been tainted or maligned, then Americans have forgotten their history. You know, and the thing is, oh, America, this, you know, it was not, it was a secular state. No, it wasn't. It was not. North Carolina had in their constitution, the original constitution of North Carolina said, the established religion of this state is Protestant Christianity. I mean, it was right in there. Now, they didn't want Protestant Christianity to be telling a Baptist, telling a Lutheran what to do, but they didn't want the state to tell the church what to do. And they didn't want the church actually to tell the state, but they would advise the state or whoever's in there. And so we have a lot of tainted history because people haven't been told the truth about these things. There was a time a court ruled in opinion stating that an atheist is not a reliable witness. Why? Because you could not hold them to a high standard. And back then, an atheist is not a reliable witness. You can't trust what they're going to say. Boy, you try that one today. That'll be something. I don't know if I even got that opinion in that court case, but I know I read that court case. Okay, verse 22, it says, "Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land." So recount the history. Tell the history. Psalm 78 is all about this. It's the history of Israel. "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over." So two great, great miracles. "That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." So that was the purpose of the 12 stones. And so when we set up memorials, it's to remember something that a party did. Okay, it's funny, I don't have it with me, but I think I read it on the radio, if I can remember some of this. In 1996, Clinton was going up for re-election. He stands by Mount Rushmore, and the media said, "What a place of inspiration, American ingenuity." Okay, when Obama was running for a presidential office, he by Mount Rushmore, and they said, "What a place of liberty, and a person can attain such and such." And President Trump by Mount Rushmore, what did the media say? "This is an example of white supremacy." I mean, the same, and CNN is three of the things, and it depends on who's standing by Mount Rushmore. Unbelievable. Okay, and there's another party who was in there. I forgot who it was. Oh, I think George Bush was another one. Again, they gave it the proper praise. But when Trump's there, white supremacy, racial bigotry. You know, the records kind of speak that Obama's grandmother's family were sellers of slaves. And his father's side was in Kenya, and they could have been in the slave market too. And then people don't know that. Do you know that whites were enslaved in our country? Many, many whites were enslaved. And Irish were enslaved as slaves. So, okay, we'll stop there. Let's go and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and I do thank you for the record, the testimony, and I do ask, Lord, that by your mercy, that we could use the liberty that you've been given to our nation as a result of people who loved you, loved your words, that we can use the liberties we have to further your gospel message and to please you. And until we hear the trump, and Lord, I would dare say it's a good day to hear that trump. But I pray you'd help us to occupy and be faithful until we do. In Jesus' name, amen.